Tova, everyone, from Brandon and Tally. This is the voice of my beloved podcast. And it's the new year. We celebrated Rosh Hashanah this past weekend. So that was a great experience. We had a handful, well, not a handful. We had about 40, 50 people out this weekend, which that was so great because Brayden and I are still trying to figure out how to, you know, celebrate these feasts outside of Israel without our family. It could be really sad, but we've got the greater body of Messiah here. And so we were really grateful for those that came out and decided to celebrate with us this past weekend.
Yes. Hard not being in Israel, hard not being with the family, but yeah. It's a blessed to have some believers around here to celebrate with.
Yeah. So we had lots of blowing of the trumpets. Every time, you know, it's pretty neat because we've been to several weddings now, where the sounding of the shofar is like, that's written into it. That's what you do before the bridegroom comes. And so it's kind of neat because it like trains you for this like emotion. It's like a trained emotion that happens after you've been to enough of these weddings of like, oh, the bridegroom's coming.
Expectancy.
This is so, yeah, like it's like this nervous kind of new thing and the bridegroom's coming. It's just, it's really exciting. So it's really neat because as the sound of the shofar was going off this week, that's the first thing that comes to my mind is like wedding, the bridegroom's coming. And there's this expectancy and this kind of nervousness of, you know, are we ready? Is everything ready? Is everything in place? So it's fun. I'm so glad God gives us these set apart times to remember things like that. So.
Yes. So what are we in right now, these 10 days?
Yeah, we're in the 10 days of awe now, right? Leading up to Yom Kippur. And so today we're going to kind of talk about the white linen wedding dress today, which I'm sure there are there's much more to expound on it than what we will necessarily do on this podcast. But we'll just touch on it a bit, but it's really a big topic, because, you know, we see in Revelation that the white linen wedding dress is the righteous acts of the saints. And so it's really neat. It's part of the readying of the bride of Messiah.
Neat too how the priest on Yom Kippur, he's wearing a white linen garment.
Yeah.
He's not wearing his normal garment, you know, with the ephod and the stones on his chest. He's wearing this pure white garment, picturing this time when the people of God are going to come appear before him white, cleansed. And so it's such a beautiful picture.
Yeah. So it's exciting. I'm going to bring up some Yom Kippur kind of analogies here as we kind of go through different aspects of things. And we're going to try to make this as clear as we can as I tell the story and as we kind of go over some different ideas. It's amazing. And we want to pray that, you know, that we really hear the Father's heart in all of this.
Yes, and as we're kicking off here, I just want to mention a proverb that has really spoken to me in the past. And it's Proverbs 16, verse 22. It says, "Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it." And the fascinating thing about this verse is that you can also translate it is, "Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who owns it." Mm-hmm. And this is my prayer for myself, for the body, is that we will own the truths of the word. You know, growing up as a homeschooler, you can, you know, have your parents teach you things and give you ideals, but there's a transition that takes place somewhere, hopefully, where you begin to own those truths. Mm-hmm. And this is so key. You know, as Tally and I are sharing our story and, you know, these biblical insights, you know, may God help us to own it. May we own these truths. And when that happens, this proverb tells us it will become a wellspring of life to us. And, you know, it becomes this living understanding inside of us. There's nothing dry or crusty about it. It's this living understanding. Mm-hmm. And when we own it, you know, if we don't own it, then it's not that same, you know, vitality to it. It doesn't have the same, but when you own the truth, when you own understanding, it's a wellspring of life. And so may God grant us that.
Yeah. And that's a prayer for all of us. You know, Brayden and I get the blessing of being able to share this message pretty much over and over again. So it's a good just continual reminder to us. But even Braden and I really, you know, there's as much as we know and understand, you know, some different principles and stuff, I think we're still pressing into the heart, the fullness of the heart of God and all of this, and truly being able to take on the identity and not just know it in our heads, but to actually, you know, that out of our heart, this whole message will flow out. Yes. So that's the prayer. We can all press in for that.
Yes, to actually experience it. Well, this is what Yeshua said. This is eternal life, to know God, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just a list of ideas and concepts. It's knowing God. It's this is where the life is.
Yeah.
And so this is what we hope is an encouragement. As you listen to these podcasts, that you're encouraged to press on in knowing God.
Right, right. So. Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about a beautiful white wedding dress, and it's so beautiful. And
the guys are thinking, I'm not sure if I'm going to listen to this.
and we might've lost some of the guys the last podcast. I actually, like, when I was like posting it last week, I was like, you know what? I was probably a little too gushy for a lot of the guys out there. So sorry about that. But, you know, we're just trying to present the fullness of just the intensity of emotion that there is as we relate to God, that it's not some dry, boring thing. So that was what I was trying to get across. So today we're talking about this white linen wedding dress.
Yeah. And I just want to address that as we're kicking off in this topic. Because, yeah, you hear, for guys, you hear a wedding dress and you think, what could that possibly have to do with me? You know,
but I ain't wearing no wedding dress.
Yeah. But I just want to encourage all the guys out there. God uses physical relationships, the world around us, to communicate deep spiritual truths. I was even thinking about today how God is our shepherd and we are his sheep. It's not like we're going, oh man, I'm related to it. Like, I'm referred to as like an animal, like a sheep. That's not the point. You know, when the psalm says he is our shepherd, like we are the sheep of his pasture, then it's just a picture of the comfort, our shepherd is watching over us. He's keeping away the wolves. He's bringing us, leading us into pasture. He's nourishing us. It's this whole picture. It's not that we're like, oh man, I must be just like a sheep, you know, but it's that spiritually speaking, we're the sheep of his pasture. Yes. It's this picture. And so the same with the bride, you know, it's not that by embracing this understanding, we're going, oh man, I want to be like a full man, you know. I don't want to in any way compromise my manhood but it's that God said, okay, I'm going to put Adam and Eve in this garden, and this relationship is going to reflect a far greater reality of the oneness that God's people are going to have with God. Mm-hmm. And so when we embrace this idea of being the bride, it's that whole picture of Yeshua wants to be one with his people. And the marriage relationship pictures that in such a powerful way. And so, you know, when I begin to embrace this, I just want to encourage the guys out there. It was in no way that I felt that I was compromising my manhood. Yeah. It was that I was embracing this picture of, I want to be close to my King. I want to be close to my Messiah. Just as a man would fall in love with a woman, that's how much God loves me. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the closest human relationship. You know, you see the father child relationship. That's a close relationship. But the husband wife relationship far exceeds that. Mm-hmm. It's this closeness, this unity, this intimacy. And that's what our King desires with us. And so just encourage you guys not to get hung up on the picture of this, but to embrace it and say, okay, this is what the scripture teaches. And I want to embrace this.
Yeah. Yeah. And Braden has really devoted a lot of his life and prayer and to this whole picture and really embracing this identity of what is it that I'm the bride. And I can just attest to you that Braden is a very manly man. And so, you know, it does not mean, you know, that you have to embrace some sort of a feminine side or something like that. Like, right. This is there. You can be fully masculine and still understand God's heart for you as part of the body of the bride of Messiah.
Well, yeah, I even think about the Jewish men, that they're very connected to their masculinity. But when they wake up in the morning and they put on their tefillin, they actually quote Hosea saying, I will betroth you, when God says, I will betroth you to me forever. You know, mm-hmm. They're almost like putting on their tefillin, and, you know, this is actually like a leather thing that they would wrap around their arms. It's almost like their they're getting connected to this idea of being bound to God, of being connected to God. Mm-hmm. As they're putting on their tefillin, they're actually quoting this verse about being betrothed to God. Mm-hmm. And so, like, even in the Jewish community, this is something that the guys are not feminine type guys, but they're recognizing that, you know, Jeremiah said, you know, God spoke through Jeremiah and said, I am married to you. Return to me, O backsliding Israel, for I am married to you. Mm-hmm. And so this is the whole picture of God's heart. He's married to his people. He loves his people with that depth of a love. And so this is something we want to embrace, this type of love that he has for us.
Yeah. So now we're going to kind of go into this this whole wedding dress, this linen wedding dress picture. And I'm just going to kind of give my story and just some things that I've kind of pondered on as I've walked through everything. So my story, the first thing I just wanted to touch on is just how big of a deal the wedding dress is. And so, like, even in today's weddings, the bride, like, one of the biggest parts of preparing for the wedding is, like, the bride finding her dress. You know, she goes and she looks around and she shops and she picks, like, the perfect one.
A lot of times spends a lot of money.
It's a very close thing, you know, because this is how she's going to be presenting herself to her husband and stuff. And so it's a really big deal. And we see the mention of wedding garments just throughout the Bible. There's lots of mention of wedding garments and stuff. So it's part of that getting ready. It's a big part of that. It's a big part of getting yourself ready. And so we see that that this whole thing, this was a really big deal for me. As I went into the preparation period, it was, you know, there was the wedding to get used to or to get ready and all of those details. But the wedding dress was like, it was a big deal. It's like, what are we going to do? And so, you know, obviously in the Bible, it talks about it being white linen. And so that's what I decided to go for. And I decided to make a wedding dress, which thankfully this is one of the blessings I got out of going to school for fashion design was I got to learn how to make a dress. I didn't know how to do that before I went to school. So that was really a blessing. And so I'm going and I'm picking my dress. Okay. And, you know, Brayden and I are coming from different backgrounds here. And Brayden's coming from a simple life, the simple life. And and I'm coming from New York City and fashion world, obviously, you know, pretty disconnected from it at that point. But that's kind of my build. I'm a very, okay, take out the city and the fashion world from it. I'm a very
flamboyant.
Yes. A very, bubbly, bright, kind of a personality, very frills and all kinds of, you know, I like all of the, you know, the fancies. And so anyways, so going into this, as I start thinking about my dress, my whole
approach.
Direction. Yeah. My whole approach to this whole thing, was not, okay, what's my dream dress that I've been dreaming up, you know, all, which I didn't, to be honest, I did not dream about a wedding dress much, maybe a little bit here or there, but I'm going into this not thinking what would be my favorite thing to wear. Like what would make me the most happy? And, you know, as you think about this, what is going to make me the most happy? Well, at my wedding, the thing that's going to make me the most happy is making my husband happy. Right. And so it takes on a whole different spin. And so when I was picking my pattern out, I decided to go for one that was more simple. And it was a very nice wedding dress. But I definitely, while I was making it, I had Brayden in mind. This is what will make Brayden happy. This is the kind of dress that he would want his wife to wear. And so this is how I made my wedding dress. And, you know, looking back on this, I'm just looking at this and I'm going, you know what, this is what, and I was so blessed in that. Like it wasn't like, Brayden was telling me, I don't want you to wear this kind of dress or make sure you're, you know, he's not trying to change me. He's not trying to, you know, be this, what, ball and chain or anything like that, like this kind of a master of, you know, do's and don'ts or anything like that. It's just like we're during the betrothal season, I'm getting to know his heart. I'm getting to know what he likes, what his background is in, what he's used to. And I'm falling in love with him. I'm falling in love with everything about who he is, where he's come from, why he is the way he is. And so as I'm falling in love with that, I want to do something that he will be pleased with. And so as we go into this whole preparation season, as we're getting ready for Yeshua, for our bridegroom to come back, I just think that's so much needs to be our motivation in the way that we walk things out, in the way that we live our lives, is that every day we have to have this understanding that we're getting ready for a wedding and we have the chance to bring pleasure to our king or go and our king and our bridegroom, or to run after things that are going to make us happy, that are going to, you know, to whatever, like the selfish ambitions in our heart to run after those things, or to say, no, you know what? I know that Yeshua's heart is towards this, and that's what I want to run after. And I just want to say that as we walk that out, that's the most fulfilling place that we can walk out. And it's not a place of drudgery or anything.
And what an amazing thing that this wedding garment is, you know, in Revelation, it says that this is the righteous acts of the saints, mm-hmm. you know, and how, just what a perspective on righteousness that it gives.
Yeah. And I love that picture, you know, because this is what is asked of us, to walk in righteousness. And that's how we're to prepare ourselves, is to walk rightly before God. And I love that picture, because righteousness is one of those words that can just have a bad rap. It can, you know, people think of righteousness and they think of like self-righteousness, or they think of hypocrisy. Different words like that, like laws, you know, things that you can and can't do. And, you know, it feels very kind of rigid, and, but it's not like God's heart. Righteousness is a wedding dress, is this beautiful wedding dress that the bride is deciding to put on, as she gets ready. It's a decision that she decides to put on. She decides to choose a righteous walk. And why does she do that? It's not because she's just got this mean old bridegroom that she's getting ready for. No, it's because she's in love with her bridegroom. It's completely springing out of a heart of love and devotion and pursuit. Mm-hmm. And so it's such a beautiful thing. It was really neat to go through all that season. And the other thing I just wanted to touch on too was this whole thing is that this wedding dress is linen. And so, you know, those of you who know me know that I dress pretty much only in linen. I love the fabric. It's a great fabric, and it's also a very biblical fabric. It's what, you know, as Braden said, this is what the priest is wearing to go into the Holy of Holies, is what the priests wear. The angels, Yeshua, the bride, the holy appearances of people throughout the Bible are clothed in white linen a lot of times. And so, but it's such an interesting fabric. And, you know, in Ephesians, it's talking about how the church, the body of Messiah, that she is presenting herself not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. Okay, so you're looking at this and you're going, okay, without spot or wrinkle, she's wearing this white linen wedding dress. And for those of you that have worked with linen, it's very hard to get spotless and wrinkleless. And so without going into, you know, this is not supposed to be some sort of a theological stand on anything, but I've often pondered just this whole idea of the white linen wedding dress, because we want to choose righteousness. We want to choose to put on this white linen and to walk in that place of righteousness. It's a choice. It's not something that God's just going to be like, yeah, they're a mess, but I'm just going to throw that white wedding dress on them right before the bridegroom comes. No, this is like, this is part of us getting ready, is choosing to put on this dress. Okay. But then it's supposed to be spotless and without wrinkle. Well, linen, even you can iron it all day long, and it still has got this like little bit of wrinkle under there, and it's got, it naturally has these little just little particles and stuff, like little nubs through the fabric. And so I look at that and I go, okay, you know what? Because, you know, the scriptures refer to how, you know, Yeshua is our righteousness. Like without him, we aren't even able to walk in this whole thing.
It's supernatural to have a wrinkle-free linen garment.
Exactly.
You can't accomplish it by human means.
Yeah. And so I look at that as, you know, this is, he calls us to walk in this righteous place, but it's a place of humility. It's not a place where you're putting on this dress and going, wow, look at how beautiful I am. My dress is so nice. Those people are not ready over there. You know, they don't have as nice, referring to this righteous walk. That's not what God's called us to, because, you know, I mean, you know, we want to walk in righteousness, but we have to understand where it comes from. The righteousness that we are able to walk in comes from Yeshua. And so, he, you know, just like on Yom Kippur, the priest gets ready, he puts the white garments on and he goes in there. But ultimately, the atonement comes from God. The atonement comes from Yeshua. And recognizing that is so important in our walk as we get ready, as we walk righteously before God, that we understand that this is through him and not in our own strength.
Yeah, I even like, you know, referring to this whole picture of the whiteness, the humility, the righteousness, all coined together in Psalm 45, it talks about Yeshua in his coming, that he is the one that has truth, humility, and righteousness. And I love that in that passage, how it's humility and righteousness side by side. Mm-hmm. And we know that Yeshua, that he is the example of humility. You know, he said, I want you to learn one thing from me. You know, speaking to his disciples, we learn many things, but he pointed out one particular thing. I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me that I am meek and lowly in heart. And so he's inviting us to come to his feet and learn this virtue of humility from him. Mm-hmm. And we know that he is the example of righteousness as well. And so I just love that passage, Psalm 45, humility and righteousness going together. And that's really the only place mm-hmm. that we're able to walk in true righteousness. It's as we humble ourselves before God and accept his free gift of righteousness. I mean, we know there's a joint effort there. You know, we accept it. And the Revelation says the bride has made herself ready. Mm-hmm. But I just see that as the bride surrendering herself. She's surrendering herself to that work of sanctification and saying, yes, I want to be ready. I want to have oil in my lamp when the King comes. Mm-hmm. And she's submitting herself. And the righteous act of the saints, you know, what we actually do is part of what that wedding garment, that righteousness is all about. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just this make-believe thing. It is actually connected to what we do. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to realize that. But what we do has to be so wrapped up in our being one with the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And that's the only true way that we can walk in righteousness.
Right. Yeah. So these words that get, you know, just get this kind of picture of being kind of dry and stale or something. Yeah. Like righteousness, or I was even thinking, you know, the word law, like that's had especially within Christianity, it's like law, blah, that's like legalism. And then that's got a really bad, you know, rap to it too. And so, but God's perspective on this, like a pure perspective on this is like the law is a ketubah. It's a vow that's made, that God makes, the covenant that he makes with his people. It's this beautiful thing that he's saying, if you walk in this way, you will be blessed. He's the perfect bridegroom. And then when he calls us to walk in righteousness, that's just following out this ketubah. And it's such a beautiful thing. So, you know,
I'm thinking of the marriage relationship being such a perfect picture for that, because like you and I have a law. Like mm-hmm. I'm reserved for you.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's a law. It's a law that is motivated by love.
Right.
That I only have eyes for you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one with you. I'm not going after any other woman.
Yeah.
And I just love that picture of the marriage relationship, you know, of law in the context of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's laws that it's a framework with that love flourishes in.
Right.
You know, in that context. So in our relationship with God, we're not committing harlotry. We're not going after other God. That's right. a law that we want to stay within that framework, that we're not going to go after other bridegrooms.
Right.
We're not going to go after other gods.
Right.
We're going to serve him and him alone.
Yeah. And I also just wanted to touch in, you know, cause this whole, you know, I talked about how like the decision, how to make my wedding dress was greatly affected by what I really felt like would bring pleasure to Brayden. And this whole thing affected this whole betrothal season. And it was such an interesting shift for me, because, you know, it, with everything that I did in life, it all became revolved around Brayden, like getting ready for being married to Brayden. And so like while I'm cooking, what's my family really like? I'm going to make stuff for them. No, I'm cooking and I'm going, what are some recipes that Brayden would really like? What could I try to, you know, or when I'm picking out clothes to wear, I'm like, you know what would Brayden really like me to wear? And none of that was like some kind of like a bondage thing of like, oh, I just got to do what he said. It was nothing like that. He wasn't making me do that. Like, make sure you try some recipes and have some good food here when you, like, it wasn't like that at all. This is just like, I wanted to bless Brayden. I wanted him to be pleased and happy. And like, I wanted to make him happy. And so, you know, I think that, you know, we have this perfect bridegroom that's given us a lifestyle and he's given us his word to live by. And he did it in a perfect way. And as we walk that out, as we walk it out in a place of love, like we are blessed in that. We are blessed. That is what brings fulfillment to everything that we do in life is when we walk out the word of God with a heart of love and devotion and sincerity. And I think that's where we find true fulfillment.
Yes. I want to close out with a few scriptures in Revelation 16:15. It says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief." This is Yeshua speaking. "Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So here we see this encouragement, keep your garments. That's what we're talking about. You know, James, I read this passage from James, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." A couple years ago, Talia and I went in the row. We've shared this love and purity message on the road in churches. And we brought around with us this wedding dress that had spots, like grease stains, black spots all over. It looked horrible. But we brought it in front of these congregations and would say, who wants to show up to their wedding in this dress? And everybody was just aghast. It's like, no, that looks horrible. And so, but the potential is there. The world is out to spot us. It's out to contaminate, to make, you know, there's so much uncleanness in the world, and that's growing. That mm-hmm. that uncleanness is growing in our culture. So it takes intentionality that we would turn away our eyes from looking at worthless things, that we would set ourselves apart, that we would not be spotted, but we had this vision of being ready, being those virgins that have oil in their lamps and are found ready when the King comes. Mm-hmm. So may we be that.
Yes, yes. Amen. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think we're going to close out here, and next week we'll continue on the this whole betrothal season topic. So until then, have a blessed season of the Days of Awe here, and yeah, we'll see you next week. This is Brayden and Tally reminding you to listen to the voice of your beloved bridegroom. He's coming quickly.